blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 163, stanzas 1 and 2. O Lord, my God, most earnestly my heart would seek thy face, and within thy holy house once more to see thy glorious grace. Apart from thee I long and thirst, and naught can satisfy. I wander in a desert land, where all the streams are dry. 1 and 2 of Psalter 163.
Thank you. portion of God's Word that we wish to read in this afternoon, you can find recorded in the book of Psalms and are of Psalm 27. But before that, we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 27, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said with unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Because of mine enemies, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, we may come before thee in this afternoon hour. Give to us a holy reverence, for we approach unto a holy and a righteous God, and we have so little impression thereof. And we come with great natural boldness, but may thou give us the spirit of grace and supplications and the humility of thy servant who did say, I have taken it upon me to speak unto the Lord which am but dust and ashes, and yet thine ear that is attentive to hear the supplications of those that are needy, and that do cry unto thee. Oh, could it be that such may be found also in this afternoon hour, and when we are together in thy house of prayer, and when this young friend hopes to make a public confession of faith, and before thee and the whole congregation, and when she will take that solemn oath upon her lips, which thou wilt require of her upon that great day of days, but also that oath by which she binds herself unto thy church. Oh, may it be with that same desire of thy servant of which we have read, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, and that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and not only to come and to go from the house of the Lord in a way outwardly in this world, but may it be with a longing and a desire in her heart to see and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Oh, that thou may plant such a desire in her and in each and every one of us. Oh, thy servant may see something of thy beauty, and thou didst show it unto him, and that even in his wretchedness, in all his guilt and in his sin, oh, then he may behold a blessed Savior, of whom that he may speak, of whom that he may write. For he desired to build thee an house, but thou didst say, I will build thee an house, and thy son shall sit upon thy throne. Oh, it shall be the son of David. It shall be the son of God. And thou dost sit still upon that throne. Even everlastingly shalt thou reign and rule for the sake of thy church, to draw in those who are guilty, those who are polluted, those who are corrupt, to make application, to send forth thy Spirit, to forgive those that do turn again, and to wash and to cleanse those that are not able to cleanse themselves. Oh, then thy name shall be magnified as the priest of thy church, that great high priest, for thy sacrifice, for thy intercession, and also for thy blessings. And thy people will go after thee in the desire and in the way of obedience, to walk according to all thy commandments. Oh, that thou mayest plant it in the heart of each and every one of us. And when thy ordinances have been established by thee, and there is an attending upon those ordinances in an outward way, but also for a church of thine, a remnant, a little seed, who may attend in a spiritual way upon all thine ordinances, and they may eat and they may drink, then they do desire with thy bride that their beloved would come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Oh, could it be also in this day that cry may go out from thy bride, and that thou wouldest indeed come unto us, and that thou wouldst go in the midst of us. And whether we are here in thy house or whether we listen from our home, and that all the circumstances are known unto thee, and it is all under thy guidance and on all thy decree. Lord, could it please thee to soon give that time, and that all together we may come once again into thy house of prayer, and that thy hand may be lifted from off of us, and that we may go once again as it was in the times gone by, when we went up with the multitude unto the house of the Lord. Then thou knowest the desire of each and every one of thy people. Then they desire that thou wouldest come in the first place, and that thou wouldest visit their soul, and that thou wouldest speak a word of comfort, or a word of instruction, that they may learn, that they may be reproved, that they may walk according to all thy statutes, and that their way may be a way of holiness, and that thou wouldest cover them in all thy righteousness, with that robe which thou hast bought by a great price, even thy own life. Oh, that thou wouldst take of that blood, which has now been brought into that inner sanctuary, and wilt thou send forth thy Spirit to sprinkle it upon us and upon our children, that we may be washed and that we may be cleansed, and then there will not be a single sin left, even upon our own consciences, when our sin may be covered, and when we cannot see it anymore, for the blessedness and for the cleansing power of the blood of thy dear Son. Oh, do lead us a little by a true and saving faith into the preciousness of the death, of the burial, and of the resurrection of thy dear and only begotten Son, and that it may be applied unto the hearts of each and every one, and that the young also may be given, while they are still in the days of their youth, to run after thy church, that they may see the beauty, that they may desire the way wherein that thou dost lead, and that they might have a prayer in their hearts, that thou wouldest favor them with that favor that thou bearest unto all thy people, and that thou wouldest visit them also with thy salvation. Oh, then how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those that bring those glad tidings, and that do publish peace. Then their hearts also will be united, and desire also to unite themselves unto that church of God. Could it please thee also to send forth more servants into thy vineyard, to give those glad tidings unto those who are destitute? Oh, that thou wouldst raise up those who are truly converted and humbled by thee, those who are not able with their own strength or wisdom to go forth to that labor. Oh, that thou wouldest bring those that are weak in themselves for thy strength that is made perfect in weakness, that thou mayest do it then that thy name may be glorified. Could it be in the season that also lies before us? Do remember all that bring thy word in the established churches, but also upon our mission field. Thou knowest where each of those are that labor there. Wilt thou give strength and courage? And could it please thee a visit also from above? And that thou mayest grant in the midst of this world in which we live, that thy word still may go out, The remnant will be small, and yet it will be a multitude that no man is able to number. Remember thou all the sick and the afflicted in our midst, but also those that are relatives. Oh, that thou mayest be near and dear to those that receive hard messages. Oh, that thou mayest give in such times a cry, for thou dost hear the needy when they cry, and thou dost save their souls when death draws nigh, that thou mayest give a place before thee and help all those that are weak, those that are not able to do their labors in this world, those for whom the doctors have no answers. O Lord, then the frustrations from the side of man can be many, and but wilt thou give patience, and wilt thou give a bowing under thy way, and could it be instruction upon our short journey between the cradle and the grave? Do look upon our youth and our children. Oh, that thou mayest supply for our school and all that labor therein. Wilt thou give thy spirit there also in a rich measure? Oh, do give love for one another, and that it may be evident also amongst our staff and our children, that thy hand, though it is heavy, that it is borne with patience and long-suffering, also in that place and in our midst. Oh, that we may be given to give a right example before one another, and that thou mayest unite us together under all thy truth and under all thy judgments. Do forgive and wash away all of our many, many sins. Help thou us this hour. Give us strength to do our labors. Oh, could it be a little bit, even of thy holy presence and thy spirit to fill us, that we may be able to speak as thy spirit does give utterance, and that thy name may be glorified in all of our hearts. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 72, stanzas 1 and 2. Lord, hear me when I pray, and answer me in grace. Oft as I hear thee say, come ye and seek my face, my heart and lips their answer speak. Thy face, Jehovah, will I seek. 1 and 2 of Psalter 72. Thank you. beloved congregation. We read in the 9th chapter of Acts that the Lord says, "Behold, he prayeth." That is a wonderful thing. If a man in this world would come to bend his knees, and if it may be said not just by persons, but if it may be said by the Lord himself, that this man or this woman, they are praying. Was that ever said in heaven of us? Was that ever said, young people in heaven, that this young person, that young person or a boy or girl, does the Lord see you when you are in your closet, in your bedroom, when you are kneeling? Does the Lord hear your voice? That it is not only a bending of your knees, but that the Lord says, "Behold, he prayeth." If we think about King Manasseh, and then we think about Saul of Tarsus, we would say those are two very different persons. They were men of the church, but Manasseh was a very wicked man, did very many wicked deeds. He led the people in a wicked way. And when we think about Saul of Tarsus, then he was a man that did live, he said that himself, according to all the dictates of his conscience. He was a very careful man. And yet, both of them were persecutors of the church of God. And yet there came a day that it was said in heaven about each of these two men, "Behold, he prayed," that they began to seek the face of the Lord. What a great change. That was not just in their outward life, but that was a change in their inward life. That was a change in their heart. And that is now the change that is necessary for each and every one of us, because the Bible says that there is none that seeketh after God, whether that we are religious or whether we are profligate in our hearts, then every man in this whole world is actually the same. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, God's word says, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. How is that with us? When we come and go from the place of the holy, is God otherwise actually not in all of our thoughts? But how powerful is that work of the Spirit of the Lord to raise a man from the dead and to change him, to change not merely his life, but to change his heart. Do we know of this? Do we seek this in our life? We wish, with the Lord's help, to say a few words in this afternoon about the 8th verse of Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 8. "When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." So far, the words of our text. The answer of David's heart to the call of the Lord. We wish first to consider the call of the Lord. "When thou saidst, seek ye my face." Second, the answer of David's heart. "My heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. The answer of David's heart to the call of the Lord. First, the call of the Lord, and second, the answer of David's heart. When thou saidst, Seek ye my face. Who says this? It is David. Where do we read that? That the Lord said unto David, Seek ye my face. Actually, we do not read that. We do not read that at all here in this chapter. And yet David says here, The Lord said it unto him, When thou saidst, Seek ye my face. Thus David heard the voice of the Lord speaking unto him and saying unto him, Seek ye my face. How is that? The Lord does not say that only unto David. No, the Lord, he says, Seek ye my face, actually unto the whole world. The Lord says that in so many ways. And the Lord also says this unto us. Thus, do we ever hear it? Do we ever hear the word of the Lord coming to us? Do you ever hear that, boys and girls, children, young people? Do you ever hear the word of the Lord? As David heard the voice of the Lord that said, Seek ye my face. You say, how is that? How is it that the Lord, he is calling unto me in such a way? Well, in the first place, it comes just by virtue of you existing as a creature of God, that God has made you. Thus, if you could not see or hear or touch or taste or smell, and there was no observance of all the world all around you, yet you would exist. And even as just being, just existing, then within us, there is a knowledge. There is a knowledge of the existence of God. And there is a reasoning about that existence of God. And because of this, there is within us, there is a voice that is heard by a man. A voice that is calling unto a man in his existence as God's creature, that is saying, Seek ye my face. Add to this the creation. Oh, when men are able to look with their eyes and hear with their ears and touch with their hands, when he can observe all the wonders of the creation of the Lord, and when he can see the things that are great and the things that are small, oh, then, when he may observe, and then all these things, they are calling unto him. Did you ever hear that voice of the Lord, children? When your teacher does lay before you all the wonders of the creation of God, oh, when you may study, and when you may hear how wonderful that the Lord has made everything, when you may see the beauty of the flowers, when you may study how that the animals, they are going over this world, and the stars and the planets, oh, then do you ever hear the voice of the Lord? That voice that is speaking out of the majesty of his creation. Oh, one day he is coming upon the clouds, and then this whole earth that will be subject to him. Oh, then the sun will be shining. Oh, then the clouds will be his chariot. Then he will show himself to be the king and the creator over this entire universe. Do we ever hear the voice of the Lord that is from within our existence? Do we ever hear the voice of the Lord that is coming from without us? David says there is no speech and no language where this voice is not heard. No, that speech that has gone out through all the earth, then it doesn't matter what language that you speak. Oh, and what is that voice saying? That voice of creation within us, without us. Then it is saying one thing that is, seek ye my face. Seek the face of the Lord. Seek the face of your Maker. Seek the face of the Creator of this universe. There is no one in the world that does not hear this call. And that is why you see every nation in this world has their religion. Every single nation, there is a people, and they are bowing. They know not before what, and yet that call that is coming unto them, then they realize that they are not themselves the epitome of this creation, that there is at least a higher being. Oh, how pitiful that is. Then we see men bowing before the idols. How pitiful that is. And when we see men on their knees and looking up to the stars and the planets and worshiping the sun and the moon. Oh, how pitiful. Paul saw this. And we read that his spirit was stirred within him. When he saw that that whole city of Athens was given to idolatry, then there was a great pity in his heart for these people who did not know who that the Lord is. Oh, then he had a desire to declare something unto them. He had a desire to declare and to preach unto them the name of that unknown God. They are creatures. They are creatures with a soul. Just as you, just as I have a soul. How many millions, and millions of people are today perished. Perished eternally, having never in their whole life heard the name, the character of the true God. And they heard that call too. Seek ye my face within themselves. They heard it from that whole creation that was all around them. But they did not know who that true God was. That they might seek his face. You say, maybe God, young people, he is then so cruel. Oh no, God is not cruel. Do you know what God is? God is just. He is just. And he has no obligation towards those his creatures that have rebelled against him, and no obligations toward their children. Man is punished not because he is reprobate. No, man is punished because of his sin. Thus, it is his own fault. And then there is no one who will be able rightly to point their finger at the Lord. No, the Lord is not cruel. The Lord, he is so good. And what a privilege that the Lord has given unto us and unto our children. to make a difference between us and them when there is no difference. Oh, the sovereignty of God, that He would make such a choice that this people He will bring under His ordinances, that this people He will have baptized, that this people He will bring to do confession of faith, and the others He will leave on the outside. Oh, how just and how sovereign that the Lord is. When thou saidst, "Seek ye my face," congregation, do we ever hear that calling of the Lord? Because it comes to us the same as it comes unto those heathen. And yet, it comes unto us in a way which is greatly multiplied above all that the heathen have. Paul says, "What advantage then hath the Jew? And what profit is there of circumcision?" What advantage that people who may be a member of the church, what advantage is it? What profit is there? It does not regenerate a person. It does not change them in their heart. No. What profit then? What advantage? Much. Much every way. Chiefly because that unto them are committed the oracles of God. Unto them are given. Unto them are committed the word of God. Oh, what an advantage. The oracle of God. The will of God. That we might know who that the Lord is, that ever humble us. The advantage of possessing the word and also the ordinances. But congregation, did we ever hear the call of the Lord? Through that word, through those ordinances, what does Solomon say? He says, "Doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men." Thus, that word that is calling, "O ye simple, understand wisdom." Are you simple? Do you say, "I am foolish? I do not know the Lord. I do not know His truth." Oh, it is that word that is calling unto men who have to say, "I am so ignorant." Oh, ye simple, it says, "Understand wisdom." And ye fools, are you a fool? Oh, then it says, "Be ye of an understanding heart." Do we ask for this? When thou saidst, "Seek ye my face," oh, do we ever hear that call of the Lord in His word that says, "Seek ye my face"? That is, from the beginning of that word unto the end of that word. That is already when we are given that word, before we have even opened up that word. Oh, the fact that that word exists. Why does the Lord give that word unto men that has a purpose? And what is that purpose? Oh, that the Lord, He is calling through it, that men might know Him and that men might seek the face of the Lord. That is the purpose now from the beginning to the end, that it might reveal the will of the Lord, what he would have men to do. What kind of men? When does that word come to us? It is not men who are innocent. It is not men who are standing in paradise before the fall, no. But that word, seek ye my face, that is coming unto men after the fall. It is coming unto men who are laying in their guilt, who are laying in their impotency, who are laying in their corruption. Is that not a wonder? Thus it is not coming unto righteous men, no, but it is coming unto the wicked. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Those sinners, they are called. They are called to seek the face of the Lord. What does that mean? To seek the face of the Lord, the face that is often spoken about as representing the favor of the Lord. Thus, to seek his face is to seek reconciliation with him. That is to acknowledge what our guilt is, that we are separated from him, that we have sinned against him, and now he says, seek that you may be reconciled with me. When thou saidst, it is not men who say it to other men, no, it is the Lord who has said it unto David. Oh, then he opens up a way. He opens up a way for his sinful creatures. When thou saidst unto me, seek ye my face. Oh, seek my favor. Seek my communion. Seek to be reconciled unto me. That, he says, is what I am ready. I am ready to give it unto you. I am ready to give my favor unto everyone who seeks my face. When they will come in that way of repentance, or a broken and a contrite spirit, I will not despise. Oh, everyone that will seek me early, he shall find me. When thou saidst unto me, oh, do we ever hear a congregation? The blessed voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord that says, you are seeking elsewhere, you are seeking other things, but turn now from your evil ways. Oh, turn now and seek my face. Inviting that sinful and that rebellious mankind, pleading with him who has a rational mind, that he would again draw nigh unto his footstool. When thou saidst unto me, seek ye my face. Oh, the goodness of the Lord, that as time goes on, the long suffering of the Lord is so evident, that he is commanding mankind, that he is inviting mankind back unto himself. When thou saidst unto me, seek ye my face, O never did that calling go out in such a strong way. Never did that calling go out in such an urgent way as it is going out in our days. Why is that? Why? Because we live in a time where the Lord says this is the last dispensation of this world. No, it is not the Old Testament time. It is not the time of Noah and of Adam and of Enoch. No, it is not the time of the patriarchs. No, it is not the time of the nation of Israel. No, it is the ecclesiastical time. And it is the last dispensation. And after this time, then I am coming again. I will come the second time to judge the earth. Then there shall be a resurrection of the dead. And then there shall be a last judgment. And thus that word of the Lord and all the happenings in the world that are around us, oh, they are multiplying the callings that are coming unto us to say unto young and old, seek ye my face. Seek ye my face while the evil days come not. Seek ye my face before the days come when all the crying and all the tears, they will have no avail anymore before that throne of God. Seek ye my face while he proffers peace and pardon. Let us hear his voice today, lest if we our hearts should harden, we should perish in the way. When thou saidst unto me, seek ye my face. And what is now the answer? What is the answer of mankind to the commandment of the Lord, to the calling of the Lord to seek his face? What is your answer? What is my answer? The prophet Amos was sent unto Israel, and by him the Lord did say, I have chastised you. I have withheld your rain. I have smitten you with mildew. And I have punished you, blasted all of your crops. And yet ye have not returned unto me. That was their answer. And the Lord, he said unto them again, he says, I have sent a pestilence among you, and I have slain your young men with the sword, and I have taken away your horses, and yet, thou hast not returned unto me. That was their answer to the calling of the Lord that said, seek ye my face. And when Christ did his labors among the Jewish people, and then he has said over and over again, seek ye my face. But he had to say of them, how often would I have gathered your children together, as a hen doth gather her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Ye would not. That was their answer. Felix trembled. Paul preached. He reasoned of righteousness and of judgment to come, and Felix said, God, I wait for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. That was his answer. The answer to the calling of the Lord from heaven. Seek ye my face. And what is our answer? When we are honest, how long have we heard those callings that are within our being, that are coming to us by virtue of the creation? that are so clearly brought to our ears out of that holy word of God. The Lord said unto me, seek ye my face. What is our answer? Do we have only evidence in our heart and in our life of our death state? Because there is by nature not the smallest inkling of a desire to seek the face of the Lord. Every calling that is by us completely rejected, but it is not rejected by all. But we're going to sing first. Psalter 146, 146, 2, 3, and 5. God looked from heaven above on all the human race to see if any understood, if any sought his face. 2, 3, and 5 of 146. Saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. The Bible congregation is full of wonders. We have heard of those wonders in the meriting of salvation in the season that is quickly going by. Here is now the wonder that is taking place in the application of that salvation. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. That is directly contrary to what is living in that natural heart. It is a wonder which is accomplished by the work, the powerful work of the Spirit of the Lord. Do we know this wonder in our own heart? No, it does not mean that the church is lacking those who say it with their mouths. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. No, the church is full of those who do say this with the mouth. That is every one of us. Cain, he already long time ago, he said the same with his mouth. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. And he brought his offering, but the Lord did not accept that offering. Why? Because that confession was merely a confession that came out of his mouth. King Saul, he also said it with his mouth. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. But he said it not with his heart. And the Lord rejected his offering. And the Lord rejected him too. There was a Pharisee. He came in the front of that temple. And he said the same. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. But he did not receive the blessing of the Lord. What does David say? My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. This is the wonder. This is the wonder. That a heart of man can be so renewed. This is now the fruit of the powerful operation of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. Oh, are there those whose hearts do burn within them that say, oh Lord, could I know this powerful work also of thy Holy Spirit on my heart, that it may be on the hearts of my children, of my family, when the Lord may plant that tender fear of his most holy name within my heart. Oh, that renewal of the heart, that is the beginning of a new life. That is a life that will never end. The heart that so begins to beat will never stop beating. No, not to all eternity. It will beat with new affections. It will beat with a renewed will. Many times that people will check their pulse and they will say, I feel no pulse. I think that heart that has stopped beating. But congregation, that new heart, though that pulse often cannot be felt, that new heart that continues to beat, because that new heart that cannot die. Oh, what is that heart seeking then? It is seeking the face of the Lord. It is seeking spiritual life. In exercise, it is seeking the life of God. In my own soul, it is not satisfied with all the things that are merely outward, the form, the external confession. It is looking. It is longing for His favor. It is longing for His communion. It is looking and seeking that it may hear one word out of His mouth, that it is well with my soul. Oh, it is seeking to know that the wrath of God that is appeased, that there is no more anger on the side of the Lord toward myself, that there is nothing standing between God and my own soul, that there may be peace, that there may be rest. Oh, that heart is seeking. It is seeking to hear it out of His own lips. It is seeking to be well grounded. It is seeking to be assured of it, that it may not mistake itself for that great and never-ending eternity, that His face is toward me, that there is love toward me, that there is mercy toward my poor soul. When Thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto Thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Oh, there is nothing that is so sweet to the soul as the drawings of the Lord to seek after His face. It was so natural to us in creation. Oh, it is restored in the redemption of His people. The bride says His mouth is most sweet. Oh, what is the mouth? The mouth is that which expresses what is laying in the heart. And now the bride, she says those communications which are coming out of His mouth, which are laying in His heart and that are expressed by Him for my own soul. Oh, how she sought them. The communications of that bridegroom. Oh, and there is great reason that those words of His mouth, that they should be so sweet, because by that mouth, then He is declaring that indeed He is not angry with her anymore. He is declaring that His face that is unto her once again, and that is despite her guilt. It is despite her blackness. It is despite her filthiness, of which she finds she cannot cleanse herself. She cannot rid herself of her own flesh. But the good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. And yet, oh, His face that is toward me, and yet He is taking such great delight in her. Oh, then He describes her as the joy of His soul. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Oh, that is the place of His delight, where He may eat His pleasant fruits, when He may come into His garden, and there He may communicate with His spouse, and when He may say to her that she is His own, and then they may give themselves their loves. Oh, a spring shut up, where there is plenty, where there is fruitfulness, oh, where there is a clean spring of water. Oh, David, he said to Mephibosheth, I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. How do you think that was for him to hear those words? How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey and a honeycomb. And thou shalt eat continually at my table. Oh, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Is it any wonder then that David, he may say this, when thou saidst unto me, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. David is in the midst of his enemies. They are all round about him. Oh, then he hears even then that calling of the Lord, seek ye my face. And there in the midst of utter destruction, when he has no might against the great company that comes against him, then he has a place to lay his burdens. There he may lay it all before the Lord. And what is now the Lord doing? And with that curse of the law which is laying against that church, oh, then that curse of the law that is being silenced for the sake of that people. David, he says here, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Oh, all the privileges of the church, they belong to that people. The protection of the Lord, rest from the Lord, a blessed enjoyment already in this life, only to be increased and perfected. World without end. The church said, he is my help and my shield. And so that is for David also. That church cannot stand before her enemies. Oh, but when the Lord is coming to hide them in his pavilion. Oh, when the Lord is coming to hide them in his secret place. This is what is experienced in the heart of that people. Because faith is apprehending the safety that there is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord is revealing him by times, and when faith may enter in a little bit, oh, then they might feel that he is their refuge. Then they are set up upon a rock, and then there is no enemy that is able to reach that people. Then they experience rest. Even when all the true accusations, they are coming against them, but they are being silenced by that blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. O congregation, what do we seek? What now do we seek? Do we seek riches? Do we seek honor? Do we seek power? Do we seek ease? Do we seek pleasure? All these things the Gentiles seek after. All of those things, they are going to perish with the using. And what does the Lord say? He says, seek ye my face. Was that ever a wonder to you? That the Lord calls such a sinful and a wretched creature to return to him. That he says to him, if you will but turn from your way, then I will bring you into my favor. Oh, then I will wash you with the blood and the righteousness of my dear and my only begotten Son. And then I will see no spot in thee, and I will see no wrinkle in thee. Seek ye my face. So the Lord is calling unto us. But did you ever answer now? With David, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Was your heart ever drawn unto this? Because when those daughters of Jerusalem heard the bride speaking about her bridegroom, then they asked her, They said, "Whither is thy beloved gone? That we might seek him with thee." O congregation, it is a good life. It is a sweet life. You say it is a tearful life. Yes, but there is such sweetness in those tears that would not be exchanged for the whole world. Oh, there is sweetness already in the missing. There is sweetness already in the seeking. And if it is so in the seeking, what must it be in the finding? Oh, may the Lord give to us to hear the call that comes from heaven. Seek ye my face. And the Lord give to us hearts, new hearts, that may answer with David, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 421, the fourth stanza. From strength to strength, thy children dear, go forward till they all appear in Zion's courts, God's holy mountain. And what follows in the fourth stanza of Psalter 421. Ask her that wishes to make confession of faith to arise and to answer the following questions. First, do you acknowledge the doctrine of our church, which you have learned, heard, and confessed to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation, conforming with the sacred scriptures? Second, do you promise, by the grace of God, to continue steadfastly in the profession of this doctrine and to live and die in accordance therewith. Third, you promise at all times to conduct yourself conformably to this doctrine, faithfully, honorably, and beyond reproach, and to adorn your confession with good works. Fourth, do you promise that you will submit to admonition, correction, and church discipline in the event which God forbid that you may become delinquent either in doctrine or in life? Janita, Arlene, Brun, what is your answer? Janita, we have heard in our studies that it is the duty of every person to join himself to the true church. That is part of our confession. We heard that in Article 28. And why is that? Because God has created every single person that is in this world. And the fact that they ought to join themselves to God's church, that is inferred from this word of God. Then the Lord says, "Seek ye my face." And that is to everyone in the whole world, and especially those who are in the church. Today, you give an answer to this. You give an answer before the congregation, and you give an answer before God. And your answer is, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." That is good. How glad that your mother is this day. How glad would your father have been if he could have been also a witness. But his happiness, and that is more than what could be experienced through this. Nevertheless, also this is not enough. And I'm sure in your mind, you are already one step ahead of me as you have been listening in this hour. Because we as a congregation, we have heard a confession that has come out of your mouth. But what does David say? He says, my heart said, not to everyone else, "My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." Thus God heard. God heard the confession that came out of his heart. And this, Janita, is where the work of the Spirit of the Lord lies. This is now where the blessing lies. This is now where the sweetness lies, in that blessed confession. This is now the secret part. It is the blessed part. It is that part which is between your heart and the Lord. We cannot see that. That is now all David, he could lay his heart open. May you do that too. That is such a great blessing if you may lay that heart open in secret before the Lord and say, "Lord, this is now laying at the bottom of my heart." Soon it will become manifest. It will become manifest in the church. It becomes manifest by our actions, what we do, what we talk, all those things. But one day it is going to be manifest. Manifest to the whole world on that great day of days. What was not only your outward confession, but it will become manifest what was now living in the bottom of your heart. And we wish for you that all the ordinances that you may be part of, and when you may attach yourself unto the people of the Lord and the house of the Lord, that they may now be for your temporal and for your eternal welfare. Congregation, we ask you to stand and to sing Psalter 48, the fourth stanza. 48, the fourth stanza. For all the meek thou wilt provide, they shall be fed and satisfied. All they that seek the Lord shall live, and never-ending praises give, and never-ending praises give. The fourth stanza of Psalter 48, standing. Let us try to pray. Almighty, all-knowing, God of heaven and of earth, that solemn answer has been heard by us. Oh, may it be that in the heart there is a confession, even as the confession of David. O Lord, grant it unto each and every one of us, humble her mother, as she may be here in our midst. Oh, that thou may give her in this time when she in such circumstances will miss her dear husband. But wilt thou be an husband unto her and care for that family together, as thy servant did say, if even my father and my mother would forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. May it become true for each and every one. Oh, look upon them. Care for us as a congregation. Give that true confession in our hearts, for we have all, many of us made it also, so many years ago. Wilt thou renew it then for each one? Bind us together around that truth and that we have confessed. Bring it in our hearts savingly. Keep us in this week. Spare us for one another. The children, when they are not at school in this week, spare each one from accident and danger. Give some meditation upon thee and upon thy truth, that there may be a little chewing of the cud and a true digesting and a profit out of thy holy word. Dismiss us with thy blessing, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 57 stanzas 2 and 3. What man shall the hill of Jehovah ascend? And who in the place of his presence attend? The man of pure heart and of hands without stain, who swears not to falsehood, nor loves what is vain, who swears not to falsehood, nor loves what is vain. 2 and 3 of Psalter 57.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.